While in Ecuador last February, I had the opportunity to chat with Tony Nunnery, a native of Mississippi who, along with his German wife Barbara, have spent the last 20 years restoring about 70 acres of cloud forest in northwest Ecuador.
I'm Tony Nunnery, born in Hazelhurst, Mississippi, and living now in northwest Ecuador in a region that's called the Choco region. Historically, the Choco went from the Darien in Panama down to Guayaquil in Ecuador. And now there's only 2% of that forest left. And that's what we're doing here, is trying to protect that habitat, the cloud forest of northwest Ecuador. It's the highest endemic bird area in the world, northwest Ecuador and southwest Colombia. And we're right in the middle of that. Our big specialty here is hummingbirds. We were the first hummingbird garden in Ecuador, and we have a world record on the most number of hummingbird species in one location. We have had 42 species of hummingbirds to date, and the most we've ever had in one given day is 26 species of hummingbirds in a 12-hour period. Other than hummingbirds, we've had 333 species of birds eating breakfast on my front porch.
That's more than some states in the U.S.
And a lot of those are also these Choco endemic. Are birds that are only found in northwest Ecuador and southwest Colombia.
Can you tell us about the history of your 20-year project, starting from, as you told me, a cow pasture?
We bought the property 20 years ago, and it was an empty, open cow pasture. We bought 30 hectares, which is about 75 acres, and out of that, 5 of the hectares was the cow pasture. The rest was forest still, but it was on such a steep slope, it was still a forest because it was too steep to make a cow pasture. So our project here is to try to recreate a habitat restoration project. We quit calling it reforestation because more often than not, that's just tree farming, planting Monterey pine or eucalyptus or teak to harvest later. But we wanted to recreate the habitat, of which northwest Ecuador has the highest number of endemic orchids in the world. Also, we have a lot of special reptiles that are only found here and frogs that are only found here.
So did you first build a house?
I grew up in a construction family. My father was a very good carpenter, and amazingly, I learned a lot, even though I was on the dumb end of the ruler most of the time. But I was actually able to build my house here with no electricity and only 7 hand tools. And it was built in 7 months. Once the house was built, in the middle of the cow pasture, so I didn't have to cut anything down, we began to bring the forest to us. So we began to dig up all the grass and start to recreate the habitat. There is a succession of growth we've learned, so it's not just a matter of taking the grass away and letting it come back on its own. It really requires a succession. Certain plants, they call pioneer plants, come in first, and then after that you get middle elevation species, and then later on you get the climax species. And that takes anywhere from 50 to 100 years before it gets back to truly the habitat as before.
So what are some of the specific plantings that you've put in to start this process of getting back to where it was prior to being a cow pasture?
The original work in this was 3 years involved just taking the African introduced grass away, because grasses put out chemicals to prevent other seeds from germinating. That's why grassland stays grass. You have to take that grass away. And then turning that grass into compost, and we got plants from the forest that we did have and along the road where we go and look for the pioneer species to plant within the garden.
So could you describe for our listeners in Indiana the setup of the hummingbird feeders, and you've got banana feeders, you've got rice feeders?
The house is 80 square meters on the inside and 35 square meters of porch wrapped around the house. So it's almost as much space outside as inside. So we have a big, large wraparound deck that we can look out over the garden. There's 20 hummingbird feeders, and we go through sometimes 100 pounds of sugar in 8 days. So we're using over $1,000 worth of sugar every year. And a lot of people are concerned that putting out feeders would affect pollinization of the flowers. Hummingbirds go to feeders when their preferred flower is not in bloom. When their flower is blooming, they could care less about the feeders. Or they would go the first drink of the day and the last drink of the day when they need it the most. The most important thing about keeping hummingbird feeders is to keep your hummingbird feeder clean.
Right. Perhaps for our listeners, we're looking out in Tony's backyard, and there are a lot of feeders. Maybe tell us some of the species you see right now.
I'll just go through real quick. I'm looking to my right at a booted racket tail and a purple-bib white tip. I go to the next feeder, there's a fawn-breasted brilliant. The next feeder is fawn-breasted brilliant, violet-tailed sylph, and purple-bib white tip. And then over on another feeder is buff-tailed coronet, empress brilliant. One that came in earlier for you guys, that's a newly described species. It's called the Rufous Gape Hill Star. So there are 18 species here now. And it's not just feeders. What we are is a hummingbird garden. So we've specifically and very intently planted hummingbird flowers. Small flowers for short-billed hummers, medium-sized flowers for medium-sized hummingbirds, long-billed tubulars for long-billed hummingbirds, and heliconias for curved bills.
Right. And you've even planted for the sword-billed hummingbird.
Well, that's right. But we also plant for the tanagers. We plant a lot of, and then we plant other large fruits for toucans and barbets, which we also get here. It's been a labor of love and worked really hard. We finally accomplished what we were doing. We thought we'd be able to sit back and relax and enjoy it, but actually now it's more work maintained than it was actually creating.
And you also have banana feeders, which bring a wide array of tanagers.
Well, we're going through 60 bananas a day, to give you an idea. We get 120 bananas for $5 in Ecuador, but it's still a cost.
Right.
So we're going through 60 a day, and that brings in a number of species of tanagers and barbets and thrushes and toucans, and also it brings in many mammals. We have 7 species of mammals.
Your typical visitors, are they bird watchers or people from Ecuador who are just curious?
Our typical visitors are two different things. One is bird groups. You know, to see nice birds, you got to go to nice places. So we do have a lot of birders. Our main tourists are photographers, people coming here to take photographs. And we've been in a number of documentaries. The BBC has been here.
One last question. What's the future for your hummingbird garden?
That's the big question my in-laws keep asking me.
Uh-huh.
We live without electricity for the last 20 years, and we're completely off the grid. Our nearest neighbor is 4 kilometers away. It's manual labor. You know,
right.
It's hard work, and we don't get paid for it, you know, other than $3,000 a year in interest fees. $1,000 of that goes to sugar, and another $1,000 goes to bananas, and then $1,000 for us to live on. So we plan as much as we can, but to answer your question, we don't know how to maintain it. We've tried to get a few donors, and we have had donors, which have been a great help. It's just too much work for just me and my wife, especially the older we get. We have volunteers that come. Our place is called Pacha Kindi, and it means the hummingbird place in Quechua, the native language of Ecuador. The answer to your question is we don't have an answer. We don't really know how we're going to maintain this.
Right.
We're doing our best, and so far, we haven't gone hungry.
Since this interview, Tony and Barbara have entered into negotiations with an Ecuadorian nonprofit nature preserve group to transfer ownership and care to this organization. For more information about this jewel of South America, go to www.pachaquindi.com. For WFHB, this has been Bob Kissel reporting from the Cloud Forest in Northwest Ecuador.